Good morning, church. Good to be back out with you again one more time. You know, I was thinking as they were teaching this morning on the subject of the sower and the seed, something come to mind to me today. You know, sometimes people don't realize what they have right before them. I heard a story, this is a true story, about a gentleman in Africa, and he owned just a little piece of property in Africa, and it was down in South Africa is where it was at. And he was just a little old farmer. He said, went out every day and he farmed. And he said that, you know, he couldn't really make a living out of it. And he got discouraged. Well, he said one time this guy come through and was talking to him and said that there was a real big diamond strike over in India. And he said that if you go over there, he said you're almost guaranteed to find diamonds. You know, this is back before the day of internet and stuff, and the guy believed him, and so he sold his little piece of property for just little or nothing, and he went and he provided for his family, even left his family, he gave them some money, then he went over to India to try to find diamonds, and of course he didn't find any, and eventually he ended up committing suicide. This is a true story. He committed suicide because he couldn't find it. Well, the guy that bought this little piece of property off of him in South Africa had the same oxen, had the same plow and everything, and he went out and he would go out there and plow that garden time after time. And he said he kept getting these black rocks that he would set to the side. And he kept setting them to the side. And he said it was just nothing. He said he couldn't grow nothing there. A preacher come through and he looked at him. He had this one of these rocks up on his mantle, and he said, I can't do anything in that garden because of those things right there. And that guy, that preacher, looked at him and said, "Do you know what that is?" He said, "No." He said, "There's diamonds out there." And he was throwing him to the side. The guy sold a piece of property. It became the biggest diamond mine in South Africa where this was found. This is a true story. People don't know what they have. The gospel of Jesus Christ is precious. And there are people that hear it as the word sown time after time after time. They don't know what they have in front of them. They don't know what it is that they got. The gospel can save and can revitalize a life, can bring a marriage back together, can do all manner of things. And people don't realize that they've got this jewel, this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that's been given to us that can go out there. And I praise God. Sometimes we do not know what we have before us. And that's not even what I'm going to preach on this morning, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that. As they were saying, and I praise God for His gospel, for one day saving a wretch like me. And if you're saved here this morning, I'm here to tell you, He saved a wretch like you too. He did. Praise God this morning. I'm going to be over in Genesis, the 49th chapter. I'm going to start with the 22nd verse and read down to the 26th verse. Before you have you stand, I'm going to give you just a little bit of an expose of what this is about here, what this chapter is about. The old patriarch, Jacob, is about to die, and he's on his deathbed. And he's blessing. God has given him what to say to his children, the blessing. What you're seeing here are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what this is about here. And Jacob is blessing them. He puts a prophetic blessing on each and every one of them. And as they come, and you know what's remarkable about this? I ain't got time to get into this, but if you go out there and study the blessing that he bestowed upon each of these men, each of his boys here, it's amazing to this day how that they are true. Absolutely amazing how these blessings come to. And they all came to pass in remarkable ways. They did. And again, I encourage you to study that for yourself. Now, Jacob gets to Joseph. That's down through here. This is all of his blood. And let's stand and read what he's going to tell Joseph here, if you wouldn't care, please. Genesis 49. Let's begin with 22, verse 22. And what he says, "And Joseph is a fruitful borough, even faithful borough, by the well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved thee and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And what I want you to concentrate on before we pray is the first verse. I wrote it down. I wrote it down in the NIV version because I want you to understand this. Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. I want you to highlight branches that climb over a wall because I want you to get that this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we come with thanksgiving in our heart this morning, Lord. I praise you. I praise you for all that you've given us. I praise you for your mercy. I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. And Father, I praise you for the ones that have gathered here this morning. I thank you, Father, for the teaching this morning. I thank you for the prayer request. I thank you for all these things, Lord. For Father, truly you know all these things. You have all these things in your hand, and we give you praise and glory for it all. I ask you, Father, to go with this message, Lord, as it goes out to each and every one of us that are here this morning. I pray that hearts will be open. I pray that my lips will be open, Lord, that, Lord, the way that you would have it, Lord, and this message would go out. And Father, we just ask it all in your Son Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jacob is telling Joseph right here this. Because you didn't get bitter, because you didn't get vengeful, because you didn't do all... I mean, let's face it. Can anybody disagree with this statement? That if anybody had a right to get hateful, to get bitterness in their heart, to get all that stuff, it was Joseph for the way he was treated. Am I right? He was. You will get, he told him, just because, Jacob telling him, just because you didn't do all this, he's saying, you will get a double portion because you decided to bless others instead of dealing out punishment the way that he could have done. And he absolutely could have done it. He could have. In Genesis 41, it tells us where Pharaoh had made him second in command. He did. Pharaoh had made him second in command. He could have got back at them if he'd have wanted to. His brothers sold him into slavery. Potiphar and his wife, they falsely accused him. The cupbearer, the one that he was in prison with. Remember the story there. Whenever they had their dreams, and as their dreams come by, he explained to them what was going to happen to each one of them. And the cupbearer said he would remember him when he got out. Remember? He forgot for a while. He forgot. But instead of revenge, instead of holding bitterness against all of them, you know what it said? He gave out blessings. That's what he did. Exactly what he did. He told Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream that was coming about. Remember, there's going to be 7 years of good, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. Did you really logically think out if Joseph hadn't have done this, if Joseph would have said, you know what, if he hadn't interpreted the dream correctly, there would have been famine in the land, and there would have been a lot of people that would have died, including a lot of those that he could have got back out. But you know what? Joseph didn't do that. Joseph did not do that. He told Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream, exactly what he told him. And not only the Egyptians, but the nation of Israel was saved because of the dream that God had allowed Joseph to interpret. What Jacob is telling Joseph is this: because you didn't allow a wall of hatred, just because you didn't allow a wall of bitterness to spring up in front of you, a wall of vengefulness to stand in the way of blessing others, God is going to bless you with a double portion. And he did. Absolutely, I'll get into that here in just a little bit. Joseph was a fruitful vine near a well, that whenever it sprung up, it said the branches went over the wall to bless those people out there. That is what that's trying to say. Praise God this morning. I don't think anyone in here would disagree with me on that, that he had a right to be bitter, that he had a right to be all that stuff. But he didn't. God's mighty hand was upon him because he didn't. God telling him, I'm blessing you beyond measure. And he did that. God blessed him to the position that he was in because Joseph used it for good and not for his own personal gain. Praise God this morning. He would bless him for generations to come. The story was has great application to everyone sitting in here this morning. Everybody. I want to tell you something this morning. People have probably done some of you wrong in here this morning. They have. I'm here to tell you, I know that there's been people that have done people wrong in here this morning. And yes, you're absolutely right. They were wrong in what they did to you. We live in an absolutely broken world. We live in a world that is broken, that where people out there, they don't care sometimes what they will do to you. They don't care what will happen to you. And you think, just look around, you can see that. Just because you're a Christian does not mean that this stuff won't happen to you as well. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." That's what the Bible says. All that live godly in Christ. It didn't say some. There's going to be times in your life you will suffer and people will be glad that you do. I'm just here to tell you. And just like Joseph, it could have been maybe your family that has done that to you. It could have been work-related. It could have been a friend that has done that to you. The lesson of the Scripture this morning is this. We can overcome all of this and still be a blessing to those who have done us wrong. Yes, we can. We have to get ourselves rooted by the well. By the way, the well is Jesus Christ here this morning. If we get rooted in that well, whenever the vines go out, I'm here to tell you, we can be a blessing to even those that have done us wrong. But I say unto you, in Luke 6, 27 and 30 through 33, it says, "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto them that slappeth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as he would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also even do the same." Brothers and sisters, that is hard. That is hard scripture. I understand that. But praise God, we can get attached to the well and we can be the ones that can be the blessing. We can overcome all this stuff this morning. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yes, we can. I want to ask you a personal question. Have you put up walls this morning? Have you done that? I'll tell you, there's been times in my past I have put up walls. I'm not going to lie to you. I put them up because I thought people have done me wrong, and God has come to me and showed me that I was wrong, and I've had to tear those walls down. And I'm saying, I'm not going past that just so far. Listen to me. God is saying, listen, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgiven you, also you should forgive as well. I'm telling you something here this morning, brothers. Whenever Jesus Christ forgave this boy, he forgave me of an awful lot. Amen. I cannot stand up here and hold grudges the rest of my life against anybody. For any reason whatsoever, for what Jesus Christ has done for me. And it's the same for you here this morning. I don't know what wall that you have put up in front of you, but I believe there have been walls put up in some people's lives. And they, listen to me, I believe that God not only wants you to extend over top of those walls, but I believe God is in the business of tearing down those walls as well. That extending, listen, God will see what you're doing and he will bless if you're willing to step out and let those vines go out and reach out to those that are out there that need to be reached out to. So how did he bless Joseph? Well, if you look back at the 12 tribes of Israel, you notice Joseph is not one of them, right? Do you notice that? But his two sons are. Manasseh and Ephraim, they are his two sons. They make up part of the 12 tribes of Israel. They will stand in eternity one day. Or whenever when the New Jerusalem comes down, the 12 pillars, it's saying that they will be there. They will be there, plus the 12 apostles. They will be there. Praise God. God blessed him beyond measure because he was willing not to let that wall stand between him and what needed to be done. And can I say this morning, we need to get those walls out of our way as well. Because you shared, and I blessed with you, even to those who abuse and misuse you, because you put walls up in front of you. Not willing to love anymore. Not willing to trust anymore. Not willing to let anything come. Afraid that I ain't going to get hurt that way anymore. I'm here to tell you this morning, we put those walls up. If you get into that well that is Jesus Christ and let him raise up and let him love and let him show you what it's about, I believe we can extend the vine out just like Joseph did. And people can be blessed and you will be blessed beyond measure. I'm here to tell you that this morning. Joseph is a faithful vine near a well whose branches climb over the wall and goes out and blesses even to us today. The only way you and I are capable of extending that vine like that is through Jesus Christ our Savior. I'm here to tell you, you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do something like that on your own. The world doesn't teach it that way. The Bible teaches us that way. The world teaches us that revenge is what's best. That revenge is what should be taken place. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus does not teach that. We must all be by the well. Therefore, with joy shall we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. That's what it says. Praise God. That is what we need to get our vines watered by. That is what we need to get attached to. It says there the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Well, what were they talking about? What was Jacob? What was God blessing Jacob here, telling him about what was going on here? Well, you know what? I just went over what happened to Joseph. Everything that he had done, it said that he said he was sorely grieved and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by what? The hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That is the only way that we can overcome what we see, what's in our lives. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice. And be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Can I ask you something this morning? Do you think that was just put in there to fill up white space? I don't think so. That was there for you and I. That was there for us to where we can overcome this stuff. We really and truly can be overcomers through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way is through His shed blood. The only way is for the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. That is the only way. In Acts 2:24 it says this: then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how it comes in. That's how it dwells, through the power of the Holy Ghost living in us. That's how we can be overcomers. That's how we can be the ones that can get through this. You extend a branch of peace and love instead of hate and bitterness, forgiveness. You extend that, and you go over those walls, and you do that at first, and then eventually God will help you tear the walls down. And I can tell you this morning, and watch the blessings of God flow whenever you do that. Absolutely. Watch the blessings of God flow. Joseph got blessings because he was by the right well. There's not more than one well, the right well out there. That right well, there's only one well, and that's Jesus Christ. Let's get that right. When you find the well named Jesus, that is the one that you need to attach to. That is the one that can give you this. That forgiveness you didn't think you could ever give. That you can give through Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, Philippians 4:13. We say this all the time, but it says this. It'll become real in your life. It says this: I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through Christ. Did you get that? Yeah, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not on our own. There's no way. You'll need His strength to reach over those walls, to tear those walls down. We'll need that because He can really make a change in your life. I don't just stand up here preaching this because I just want to waste my air. If I didn't really think He could change a person's life, there's no way that I would stand up here and teach that. But I know that He can because He's done it in my life. Absolutely. There weren't many wells. There was just one. And praise God, I am glad that one day I got hooked up to the right one. Too many times we live day to day holding on to things. We do. I have sat down at funerals. I have sat down with people in their life. And this is as a preacher. I'm just saying this. And I ain't going to say it wasn't here, but other places. I have sat down with them and listened to the bitterness and listened to what's going on, even as a loved one lies in death. And you think, yes, it does happen. Yes, it does happen. They take it to the grave. I'm here to tell you, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want for any of you in here this morning. If you absolutely are holding on to things and you built walls up in your life and you somehow can't get around them or can't get over them, I'm offering you this morning. Praise God, this altar is open here this morning. Let us pray that God will get a touch to the real well this morning. You can have healing of the mind and of the soul this morning. Absolutely. You can reach across those walls. You can do that and be a blessing to others, to those who are hurting just as bad as you are right now and maybe worse. You can have that this morning. I can promise you that through the power of Jesus Christ, not on my own. But you've got to be willing in your own self to let it go, to let the walls come down. Christians and sinners alike, we need to hear this because I believe there are some Christians as well that put up walls in their lives sometimes. After you start reaching over the walls, brothers, I believe the walls can be torn down then. We need to continue extending branches. We do a good job here, but we need to continue to do it. Can I say that? We need to continue to be as a church that reaches out to the drug and alcohol addicted. We need to reach out to the ones that are contemplating suicide. We need to keep reaching out to that young girl that is pregnant out of wedlock, maybe considering to do an abortion. We need to reach out. The ones that are in abusive situations. The ones that barely have enough food to feed themselves, not only their kids. I'm here to tell you this morning, we've got so much more that we can do. It's no time to sit back and be satisfied with what we have done as a church. Praise God. We've got so much more to do. And I believe as I stand here this morning, we can be that branch that reaches out. We can tear down walls. We reach out beyond our own walls and watch God bless. Amen. Watch Him bless. I thought about this. We got 3,000, I think it's 645 days, 3,645 days to January 1st, 2030. 10 years. And you know why I say that for? Because we can make a difference in a decade. Every decade has its identity. If I mention to you the 60s, you think of something. If I mention to you the 70s, you think of something. I go right on down the line. This is the decade of 2020s. And brothers and sisters, as a church, I believe that we can leave a legacy in this community. We can leave a legacy in our families that will last for an eternity if we so desire to do that. And praise God, I've been thinking about this for a while. Listen. God has been dealing with me on this. I don't really preach New Year's sermons sometimes. But sometimes I do. But this is something God has been dealing with me about. I want this decade. I want this. If God doesn't call His church home, and if we're still here 10 years from now, and I hope and pray every one of you is here 10 years from now, and I pray that you're healthy, and I pray that you're still on fire for God. But we can leave a legacy in this community and in our families that will go beyond 2020s. Amen? I've sat in front of a lot of families after death of a loved one trying to, and I do this whenever I go to funerals. You know me. I'll take a little bit, and I want to know what they say about their family. I did Ruth. I knew what to say. You know what I mean? But I like to get stories. Patty, same thing with Rick. I'm going through hearing people I know. I love to get stories because I love to incorporate them into sermons. I have stood in front of a family one time, not here, had nothing to say. Nothing to say about the loved one that was laying before me that I was going to preach about. Maybe, and I was thinking to myself, is that the legacy that left? And then I stood before people that have given me so many stories, they were crying, not because of sorrow, because of joy. I'm just here to tell you, what kind of a legacy are we going to leave here whenever we're gone? Are they going to be talking about, man, she was a good Christian lady, and she did this and she did that? Or are they just going to say, well, I don't know what to say about them. Really? Brothers and sisters, 2030 will be here before we know it. And I hope and pray that we as a church leave a legacy. I hope and pray as a church, we as individuals in this church, that when our family members say whenever we're gone, I hope it's 100 years from all of you people. I hope you live another 100 years. Old Dale Gribble used to say at church every day, every Sunday morning, whenever it was his birthday, they'd come up. He said, man, I hope you live another 100 years. I hope you do. But what kind of legacy are you going to leave whenever it's gone? Are we going to reach over the wall? Or are we just going to stay behind it? Oh, I'm satisfied. I'm good right here. I don't have to worry about it. That's not the way it is. I think God has given us to reach. And I believe we can do that, don't you? I know it's not much of a sermon for me, but it's something God had put upon my heart. I've been wanting to preach for a while. Amen. Belinda, come and get a song.